Today's gospel reading is what's called the Q Logion, and it's a very, very famous Q Logion. A Logion is just a passage, and a Q is the Q source that's common to Matthew and Luke. So Matthew and Luke borrowed from the same source. And the reason this is such a famous passage is because it's a high Christology passage. But it's not coming from the Gospel of John, which, of course, is very famous for its high Christology. It's coming from two synoptic Gospels. In fact, it's not even coming from two synoptic Gospels. It's coming from the Q source, which predates those synoptic Gospels. So this is a really, really early passage of high Christology. And so, of course, scripture exegetes are always poring over this passage, because as people once called it, I think it was probably Jeremias, it is, you know, a bolt of Johannine lightning coming out of the synoptic blue. In other words, you've got this really, this passage of high Christology that's very, very early in origin. And not only is it early in origin in terms of its text, but it contains what's called five Abba references. Now, Joachim Jeremias, very important exegete, shows that these Abba references very likely come from Jesus. Jesus is the one who uses that word. And when you see, the Greek substitutes of Abba, ha pater, or pater mu, right, which are Abba translations of Abba into Greek, right, when you see these passages coming up, right, you know that this is very likely an utterance of Jesus. And Jeremias, by the way, has not been disproved in this regard. So this passage that we are reading very likely goes back to Jesus. I mean, five Abba references, and then you've got all these Semitic, what's called Semitisms, and then on top of it, it comes from Q, right? This passage, without a doubt, is high Christology coming out of the mouth of Jesus. Here he is definitively revealing to his disciples, you know, in the form first of a prayer, and then he gives an admonition, or he gives a talk about who he is, a presentation after the prayer. And of course, what is he establishing? He is the unique Son of God. Listen to this passage. It begins, right, where Jesus is basically saying to the Father, you know, Father, you know, I just praise you because what you have hidden from the wise and the learned, you have revealed to the merest of children. Yes, Father, you have graciously willed it so. And then he gives, you know, this speech, this announcement to his disciples. And he's only around his disciples. And that's very significant. They're the only ones he can reveal this to. If he said this in front of the Pharisees, boom, they would have just stoned him right there. Unless Jesus, of course, you know, he would have had to do a disappearing scheme right away. Because I'm telling you, this would have been interpreted immediately by the Pharisees as blasphemy. But he tells his disciples, he says that everything has been given over to me by my Father. What's everything? It's not like a bunch of things, right? Everything means all authority and power. That's what everything in this context means. All authority and power has been given over to me by my Father. And by the way, you know, pater mu in Greek, Abba, by Abba, my Abba, right? And so once you see this, right, you're already clued in. This is Jesus speaking here, right? And then he goes on, right, to say, you know, that no one knows the Father, or no one knows the Son except the Father. This word knows, this is not like Greek knowing, where you're talking about calling something to mind, right? Or you're talking about, you know, thinking about something. Knowing, in this sense, coming out of Jesus and his Semitic context means out of the heart, right? It means no one is as close to the Father. No one is as intimate with the Father. No one is as aware of the Father is to himself as me. So it's a decidedly human knowing, a decidedly unitive knowing, a decidedly, you know, close, intimate, bonding knowing. That's what Jesus is talking about here. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Now, notice that Jesus doesn't immediately say, and I'm the Son that this applies to. First of all, he doesn't have to say that. It's already implicit in the Abba of the prayer. Yes, Father, Abba, you have graciously willed it so. Now, he's addressing the Father as Abba. So when all the Abbas come up in the proclamation, that's Jesus who's the Son who's speaking there. So it's very clear to his audience that he's the one. What is the general meaning then that Jesus is proclaiming? He's literally saying that I, the Son, know the Father, God, as God, the Father, knows the Son, me. I know God like God knows me. If that isn't true, it's the blasphemy of the century. For all intents and purposes, then, what Jesus is doing is proclaiming outright his divinity. Yes, he's doing it in a very tight-knit context. He's doing it with his apostles. But believe me, when they're hearing this, they're remembering every single word of it. They're remembering the prayer in which it has been contextualized. Now they're getting it straight, as it were, from the source. And they're getting it from Jesus, right, who's proclaiming without any kind of illusions, not using a Son of Man illusion, not using a kingdom illusion. He's straight out, coming out of his mouth, using all of his Abba references. He's proclaiming himself to be the exclusive Son of God, so divine that he knows the Father as the Father knows him. Wow. Thank God for that, because by making that statement, we know doctrinally that we are completely on safe ground when we proclaim, after seeing his gift of the Holy Spirit, his resurrection in glory, of seeing all of his miracles, we know what he was saying all along. I am the Son of God. Of course, this is going to be confirmed again and again in several other parables, right? The parable of the stone, the servant that's rejected from, you know, and killed at the end. We're going to see it proclaimed again in the blasphemy charge against Jesus. But of course, in this passage, we get the real essence of the truth. Jesus, the very Son of God, has come to be with us and is going to die in complete self-sacrifice for us in an act of unconditional love that's going to redeem us. Amen.